Praise God. Welcome to Charity Bible. It's like we never did it before, right? And so we have been going through several things. Well, we started in Genesis and we're working our way through it. Last week, Abraham and Abimelech, there's a story. None of these are stories, the account. And this is the second time Abraham told a ruler to say that Sarah is my sister instead of my wife. Now, and again, we talked about what is a half a lie or a half truth. Either one, they're full.
White lie.
They're a white lie. Oh, yeah. White lies like white witches. There's no such thing. And so, anyhow, today when we look at it, we're going to need the chalkboard for Psalms and Stuff Sunday, so I got my white paper out. Woo-hoo! I redrew the maps I've been drawing, and we're going to be using maps like this for a while. This here, you know that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. They were over here, and Lot said, would you plant me down in Zoar? And so God moved him from Sodom to Zoar, which is about 75 miles. But he did that in a moment. It had to happen really quick because the angel said that we're going to destroy the city today. There's no way you're walking 75 miles with two daughters in a day. And we found out that the daughters, after they saw the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and this whole valley, right? It's this whole side of Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed all of that. So what we see today is nothing like what it looked like in Lot's day.
Right.
What Lot and his daughters and Lot's wife saw was worse than the nuclear bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Worse than that, because God rained fire and brimstone on those areas. So God spared Lot down here in Zoar because Lot asked to go there, right? The angels told Lot, go to the mountains, I'll spare you there. But Lot said, no, Zoar, send me to Zoar. It's a small city. And so the angels allowed him to go. And then after the destruction of the area, Lot moved up to the mountain and his daughters got him drunk. And he didn't even realize it because the Bible says so. And they both had sexual relationship with him. And from the first one that conceived, she gave birth to the Amorites. And their area is right up in here. And then the other one, which is the younger one, gave birth to the Moabites, which is down here in Moab. And we'll get to Edom here in a little bit, which is Jacob's older brother, Edom. Esau. And so, but right after that, after God did all that, Abraham was living right here in Beersheba, and he watched the destruction. He saw it happen. Then we're going to see today that Abraham's going to travel down south to a place down here to Kadesh Barnea, and then he's going to come back up here to Gerar. And so, and he has reasons for all that, and we'll get into all these things. So if you're looking around, there's Zoar, Gomorrah, Sodom. It'll give you an idea. This is the Salt Sea. Zedar River comes out right here. This would be the area of Zedon, or Edom. Sinai Peninsula down here, and the wilderness of Sur is that area. So
is the Salt Sea the Dead Sea?
Yes, it is. Yep. Same thing.
Sodom and Gomorrah was lush.
Yes, always.
Before God
destroyed it. Yeah. And so we saw that. That'll catch you up with the story. So we're in chapter 21 this week. And so chapter 21 of Genesis. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said and did unto Sarah as he had spoken. So in chapter 20 and in chapter 21, chapter 18, God promised Sarah that she would bear a son, okay? And then again, she laughed about it and hid herself and then said that she didn't laugh about it. And so it's been 9 months from chapter 18 to chapter 21, because he said in the time of a woman, the natural time of woman, you'll have a child when I come visit you again. So we know that it was 9 months between those two places in Scripture. So in chapter 21, the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and
And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And for Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age, at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac. And it's pretty neat that Isaac's name means he laughs, right? He laughs. That's what Isaac means. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac on the eighth, being 8 days old, as God commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. So imagine that. I guess I got to get to this too. Ishmael, by time Isaac is born, is in his mid to late teens. Okay, so he's pretty much grown up in Abraham's house as his only son this far. And so now the sum of promises come. But we can tell from, I believe it's Galatians, where it talks about the two mountains, that Hagar was Sinai, which was never part of the promise. It was the law. And the other was Zion, which is the promise. And so Isaac is the earthly form of Zion in flesh. And Ishmael was Sinai. And so, and Abraham was 100 years old, verse 7. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. So right here we know that from verse 1 to verse 8, he's probably around 2 or 3 years old. The child grew and he was weaned. And so they tradition has it that the Hebrew folks, right? I guess anybody, you wean your child. It's not just breastfeeding. It's teaching their wean. They change their own clothes now. They're not using the bathroom on themselves. They're pretty much stand on their own kind of kids, right? So he's 2 or 3 years old at this time. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which had borne unto him mocking. So Isaac, if he's 2 or 3, and when Isaac was born, Ishmael would have been 14. So that puts Ishmael around 17-ish years old here. So you got a 17-year-old boy mocking, picking on a little 3-year-old kid. And remember, that 3-year-old kid is very special to Sarah's heart because that's the son she bore. I mean, you can be friendly with your stepkids, and you can even love your stepkids, stuff like that. But if you have a child, it's different. It is absolutely different. And so it's not that you can't love stepkids. I got stepkids. I love them, right? But my kids are special weird, you know? And so it's just because that's the way life is. Wherefore, she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, with Isaac. And that thing was very grievous in Abram's sight because of his son. Of course, that would have broke his heart. You know, he had raised Ishmael for 17 years under his house. He loved him as his own flesh and blood. He treated him like his firstborn son. But now his wife is saying, you got to get rid of him. Not just him, but Hagar also. And God, so Abraham's wrestling with this. I'm sure he's praying and he's asking God about it. It doesn't say here that God is, that Abraham prayed. But what we see in the very next verse right here is that God speaks to Abraham. You know, he impresses on his heart. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In laughter, your seed's going to be called. Not in God hears will your seed be called, if you look at their names and how it's translated. So the impossible child is where it's going to be called from, because salvation folks, is impossible. It is absolutely impossible. We cannot do it on or by ourselves. It is a supernatural gift of God, just like Isaac was. And you can't take a bond person or a half-in and half-out person and make somebody be saved. I can't preach to you and you get saved unless the Father moves on top of you. My words are nothing. It's His moving of the Spirit that makes the difference. And so, verse 13, "And also the son of the bondwoman, I will make a nation because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba." So we know where Beersheba is, right? It's up in here. But we know that all of this land down in here, all of this pretty much is desert. It is a wilderness area. It's not a lush green metropolis. As you can tell, there's not a lot of towns in there. The only reason that there's a spot right here in Kadesh Barnea is there's an oasis there. And we'll see when the Israelites come up from Egypt here in the next couple of chapters. They're going to come by Kadesh Barnea, by the oasis that's there. And so that's the only reason that Kadesh Barnea even has a spot in that area, is because there's water. The rest of it's wilderness. Okay, and so, and when the water was spent in the bottle, she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and she sat down over against him a good way off, where it were a bow shot. For she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat over against him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Now catch this. He didn't hear the voice of Hagar. He heard the voice of the lad, which I found that was pretty interesting. And the angel of the Lord called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Rise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." All right, so imagine what just happened in Hagar's life. She had drank all the water, ate all the bread. She's in a desert area. There's really nothing. When it says they laid him under a brush, think of tumbleweed or sage, that desert type of a plant. It wasn't like under a nice oak tree full of shade and green grass. He was 17 years old and he wasn't able to hold himself up anymore. The lad was praying because God heard the voice of the lad. Hagar was weeping because she was absolutely helpless. Anyone here feel helpless every once in a while? God hears you. God hears you. He cares. And God sent an angelic host. It says an angel, a voice of an angel, came and told him, "Go and take up the lad. Grab him by the hand. I'm going to make him a great nation." When you think all is lost but God. Amen? When you think there is no hope, there is no reason but God. I'm going to do something because God loves me and He has a purpose for me, even if I don't see the purpose at the moment. In Hagar's eyes, all was lost. They're going to die. Nothing that she could do. And God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and he dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. A couple weeks ago, Kevin was talking about, he became an archer, he became an archer, he became an archer. All right, and it's not like the compound bows we have nowadays. You know, I watched a little bit of how they would take in the Dark Ages or the Middle Ages, and they'd have a 150-pound bow. All right, and men, these were men. Yeah. And then, 150 pounds with one hand. Fingers. It's crazy, right? This man, he became an archer. He was one like unto that. He was able to do those things. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. I should have found that on the map and marked it there. And his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. So I would say that they had moved down
over here down toward Egypt. Paran, I don't know. I did not look it up. All right? So Paran's probably down here over toward Egypt and maybe even way down where my paper isn't yet. And so this is the Red Sea, Persian Gulf, and the Arab Sea or Arab Sea or something like that over on that little portion. Okay, and so he became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of Egypt. And it came to pass that at the time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now, therefore, swear unto me, here by God, that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me, and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of the well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I would not. Who hath done this thing? Neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it but today. All right, so Abraham's making a deal with Abimelech. Remember Abimelech's the guy that he lied to about his wife? All right, the king that gave him all kinds of jewels. Take the reproach out of my house. Just grab your wife and go. And he told Sarah, don't grab your husband, grab your brother, right, and leave, and kind of put her in her place or backing up the lie. Now, Abraham has been blessed by God. He's been expanding. He's getting more cattle, more servants, more people. Abimelech is kind of afraid because of the size of Abram's army. And Abram did have an army because, remember the Battle of the Kings? You know, he took his warrior servants and he went and he beat the five kings. And so now Abraham had a, remember Jacob's well? There's Abraham's well that he dug. And this was taken away from him. Yeah, he was scared. Amen. He was a king of Greer, and he was afraid of Abram, you know, because Abraham had had great strength and power. And so, but Abraham had been dealing with a well that had been taken away, and he hadn't even told Abimelech about it. How often do we try to take vengeance on our own? Abraham just took it on the chin. Right? They took the well away. All right, fine. You want the well? Take the well. All right. Sooner or later, I'll get this thing worked out. Then Abimelech comes to Abraham wanting to make a deal. Don't do me any harm, me or my sons, my grandsons, that will be living with you in the land. And then Abraham brings up, well, you know, there's this well thing, you know? And Abimelech said, listen, I knew nothing about it. Had no idea. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave it to Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. Now, remember the covenant that God made with Abraham when he had to take all the oxes and stuff like that and split them down the middle? This is what it would look like. Come here, my darling. We're not going to kill anything, but we'll act like we do. So Abraham, he said, I want to take my ox and my sheep. Bah, moo, bah, moo. I'm going to kill them. Right? And then he splits them down the middle from the head all the way down to the haunches and lays them apart in a line, the sheep and the cattle. And Abimelech did the same thing, sheep and the cattle. And me and Abimelech, if we go through this thing, we're going to walk beside each other and we're going to say, I got you, you got me. You see that dead animal over there? You break the covenant with me, that's going to happen to you. All right? If I break the covenant with you, that's going to happen to me. Right, so you see all this bloody mess, all the guts and goo and all that kind of stuff. If you don't want that to happen, don't break your word with me. That's all. And so when he says he made this covenant with him, don't think that he signed a contract like you do in New York that you can break with a lawyer. This right here, if you break this covenant, I'm coming after you and I'm going to cut you in half and I'm going to walk through your guts. That's what he's saying, you know. That's when a man's word meant something, right?
And it was real.
Yes.
Right,
There's something about walking through entrails together that kind of brings you close.
It sobers
you right up. And so he made the covenant with him, and Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, "What mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou set by themselves?" And he said, "For these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness against me, unto me that I have digged this well." All right. So here he's actually buying the well that he's already dug. All right. Take these ewe lambs. Therefore, he called the place Beersheba, because there swore both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba with Abimelech. And then Abimelech rose up, and Pinnacle, the chief captain of the host. Oh, he's the Pinnacle. He's on the top of it. He's on the Pinnacle. And so anyhow, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in Philistines' land many days. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, "Abraham," and he said, "Behold, here I am." That's what Wendy's looking for, right? You're looking for God, and when God speaks to you, you're going to say, "Here I am," right? I pray that that would be on all of our hearts this next year as we learn how to walk with God, fear the Lord, and do these things that God has called us and expected us to do. When he says, "Hey, Kevin," you say, "Here I am. I'm going to ask you to do something crazy. Here I am. I'm able to do it." Deb, he's going to... If you seek him, if you ask him to use you, he's going to say, "Hey, Deb, this is crazy." You know? Or actually, he's going to just call your name and say, "I'm going to ask you to do something." You're going to think it's crazy. And you got to say, "Here I am." Wendy, when God, you're seeking the Lord's will, what he's going to tell you may be sound crazy. You've got to stay in New York and raise chickens. You got to stay in Charity Bible to keep them straight, right? And that's crazy, you know? But either way, whatever God tells you, that's what you've got to do. You've got to set it in your heart, in your mind, to do those things. Yeah.
And the thing that I'm thinking now is, and we've talked about it many times, is distraction.
Yes.
So not filling my eyes, not watching TV, watching these shows, getting distracted on other things because you can't hear him as clearly.
Amen.
So you're not thinking in those terms. And so it really is about... It's about not being caught up in everything else.
And loving him more than everything else. Amen. Because Abraham's going to be, it says that God tempted him. He tested him right here. In verse 0, and he said, God said, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his asses, took 2 of his young men with him, and his Isaac his son, and clave the wood for a burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place which God told him.
What if he told Sarah?
Doesn't say that he did. No, I'm sure they did. I'm sure they didn't. I'm sure they didn't say, "Hey, Sarah, you know, I know you're 100 years old, but I'm going to go kill our son." You know? Yeah, crazy. You know, this is worse than the circumcision thing. Right? Yeah. Right? So he's out here in Beersheba somewhere, and he dug a well.
Get out quick.
Now, God told him to go from Beersheba, and it's interesting, 3 days trip journey, guess where that brings you up to? Jerusalem. And it is said that that mountain, Moriah, is what would be called the place of the skull. It's where Jesus was crucified. Yeah.
Golgotha.
Mount Golgotha, yeah.
It's another name, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Before the Romans called it Golgotha.
Okay.
Right? So before that, it was...
Could that also have been where David, when David
had, yes.
When he numbered the people, and then, you know, then the God,
yes.
God sent the angel of guilt.
Yeah.
And it was at the threshing floor of...
I can't call the guy's name, but yeah.
Yeah, the threshing floor.
Mm-hmm.
And he offered, and the angel appeared, I guess, apparently stood there. And
then, yep.
And that's why he...
And he said, you got a choice. Do you want me to send the enemy to chastise you for numbering the people?
Same place.
It's in that same area. That, yeah. Definitely the same area, and it may very well be the same place.
Yeah.
That years later, Jesus Christ was crucified for the sin of the world. You can prove this with maps, and that's why I draw these maps. 3 days' journey from Beersheba is Jerusalem. That it takes about that long to get there. All right, so he took 3 days. How long was Jesus in the grave?
3 days.
Abraham had to walk with his son knowing that he was going to die for 3 days. And he doesn't tell his son that, hey, son, we're going to go up there and I'm going to kill you. Now, don't think of him as a three-year-old boy anymore.
That's right.
To keep the picture correct, he would have been in his 30s.
The other thing too is Hebrews tells us that he believed that God could raise him up,
yes.
from the dead.
Yes. Amen.
So
yep.
Abraham wasn't thinking he's going to walk away without,
no.
his child.
Mm-mm.
Somehow God is going to raise him up.
Yeah. Right, because he already told Isaac is the promised seed.
Yes.
All right. So
and Abraham had the faith.
All right. God's told me, and if he told me to do something crazy, then I need to go through with it. And in Abraham's heart, he knew, he knew that he was dead, right? That he was already dead for 3 days. And Abraham lifted, to the place where God told him, verse 4, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. It's funny, Christ carried the wood himself. He carried his cross. He carried the wood. And Isaac carried the wood. And he took fire in his hand and the knife, and they both went together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he, Isaac, said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the burnt offering? And Abram said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both up together. Years later, on that same place, God provided himself the lamb. A lamb, the one lamb that would take away the sin of the world. And this is a picture. You know, in Sunday school, we talk a lot about pictures. You know, so God did this one way to show that it's going to happen again, yet in another way. And so, amen, a foreshadowing of same. And they came to the place which the Lord told them of, and Abraham put an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, again, Abraham is an old man, all right? He's an old man. Isaac is a young man. And Isaac had to be willing and trust his father to get his hands tied. Because he could have very easily ran away. He could have very easily fought. He could have very easily escaped. But he didn't. He was willing to follow his father, regardless of how off the wall it sounded, right? Just to get a different mindset. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. Now, Abraham, he was absolutely ready to kill his only begotten son. And he did this, one is because he feared God. You know, we often talk, I don't know if I could fear God. Abraham willing to kill his son is because he feared God more than he loved his son. And knowing that he was the promised seed. So no matter what, again, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called for his purpose. And in this, he loved the Lord. He knew he was called. He said, I don't understand how this is going to work out, but I'm willing to do it. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. These are the same things we're seeing in Golgotha years down the road. All right? And the angel came unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For I know that thou fearest the Lord, that thou fearest the Lord, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Amen. Fearing God is extremely important. If you didn't fear God, you wouldn't sacrifice to him. Right? And so, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Jesus with a crown of thorns on his head. All right? And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the place, called the name of the place, Jehovah Jireh. Amen? And he said, this day the Lord... the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will see to it, or the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. There's like seven different names in the Old Testament. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nessi. You know, I like to go through those, and actually that sounds like a good series coming up. And so, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Amen. We are blessed because Abraham did not withhold his best that God asked him to do. God, now think about it. God asked him to do something crazy. And God would never ask for a human sacrifice. That's not who he is. But he wanted to see if Abraham loved him more than his own flesh. He already knew that he loved him more than his foreskin, because when God told him at 75, cut your foreskin off, sure, no problem. Sharpen a rock, do it right now. Big deal. No big deal. But now the promised seed, you're 100 years old and he finally comes. Now he's possibly into his 30s. Or the late 20s at least, that you've raised this child up. You've already given away Ishmael to leave. You already sent him out of your house. Now Isaac, your only son, and for sure it's your last chance, right? It's your last chance. Or we think it is, but we're going to see Abraham. He has many sons after that. But anyhow, in his old age. And Abraham returned unto the young men, and they arose up, and they went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And it came to pass that after these things, that it was told Abraham, saying, behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor, Huz, his firstborn, and Buz, his brother, Huz and Buz. And Kimiel, the father of Aram. And thank you. Y'all got to help me with these names. And Hazio. And thank you. And Bethel begot Rebekah. These eight Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother, and his concubine, whose name was Ruma. She bore also
Teba and Gam and Tahash
and Ma'aka.
Right. Praise God. Now, that's pretty cool that God said, hey, your brother, his wife, Milcah, the cow? No. Milcah, she's bore a lot of kids too. You know? Yeah. They had a hard time with the names? Huzz and Buzz. Huzz and Buzz. They your cuz, man. And so, and
quite an imagination, isn't it?
It really is, man. And so, yeah, amen. Yep, it is. And thank you for squaring us away there, Teach. And so, it's but you look at that God, he didn't have Facebook, but God wanted him to know that his brother was having children, that there are a lot of them. Him and his concubine, there he was fertile and he was doing well. He's their wives are bearing children, and Rebecca, we're going to find out soon enough that she's going to be very instrumental in the carrying on of the righteous seed, because after Sarah's death, Abraham's going to need a son for or a wife for Isaac, and he's going to send Eliezer on a long trip. Go pick up a check.
A chosen check.
Not just any check. Oh, yeah, my little chickadee. And so praise God. Love you guys. And so, anyone want to close in prayer? Pray for her too while you're at it.
Oh, yeah. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message tonight, Father, and I think that all of us, we're children of faith. We know that without faith it's impossible to please you, Lord. We are gonna. I think each of us, our faith is tested. It may not be tested as severely as Abraham's was, but our faith is tested. Maybe day by day, Lord, in different circumstances, and Lord, you try us. And I pray, Lord, that we would understand, we would walk by the faith of Abraham. We would understand your promises. We know that it is impossible to please you without faith and acting by faith, Lord. So I pray, Father, that what would come our way, Lord, and whatever, how we would be tested, that we would walk with you, even when it's as dark and as black, and we cannot see before us, Lord, we have no light, no discernment, even at times, Lord. I just pray that we would do what we know is right. Your word declares to be right, that we would choose you, Lord. We would abide in you. In faith and in righteousness, and walk that way, Lord, no matter what, and no matter what the testing. Abraham did it. And Lord, look at history. The history of mankind has been blessed by the faith of Abraham. He's the father of many nations, and he walked by faith. And it was proved when he took Isaac, his only son. And he knew, Lord, that this was a son of promise, and that even if he had plunged that knife into him, Isaac was coming back. He was a son of promise. What faith. I pray that we would be able, Lord, to walk by faith. I don't know if we can walk in the tremendous faith of Abraham, but Lord, help us to even do it step by step, Lord. What we know is right. Walk in righteousness and walk by faith. So I pray, Lord, for that, and I pray for Wendy, and I just pray, Lord, that I pray that your hand would be on that flight.
Yes, Jesus,
all
thank
the,
you.
All the mechanical things, and just, Lord, I pray that there would be no mechanical issues, no issues with even, Lord, the pilots, and everything would go well. There would be safety there, that there would not be, Lord, prolonged delays, that things would go well, that she would be able to fly there to Alabama, arrive safely, take off safely, land safely and be a blessing to her family, there, and to Lord, whoever else that she may cross paths with, Lord. I pray she'd be a light to them and a blessing. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring her home safely too. The flight would depart from Alabama or from wherever they're coming home, and Lord, that it would land safely too. And all that goes on in between would be your hand would rest upon the plane, and there would be safety, and Lord, that it would go well, and it'd be a blessing. It'd be a blessing to all, and they'd be a blessing to her, and we'd give her understanding, and Lord, to know whither, Lord, she should go. I wish you turn to the right or left to her father. Go straight. I don't know. Help her to see it, Lord. Discern it and know it. And I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Love you, sis. It'll be a 10-day trip, right?
I watched you.
You made it.
Without getting up and
I did.
Yeah, you did.
That's just what a good message will do.
Yeah.